the Grade Cricketer is a Twitter stream. It's about playing cricket at the grade level.
It's a tough, mean, dirty, dirty business being a Grade Cricketer.
A lot of cricketers, you know, that's all they know. They've done it since they're 10 and they have a deep-seated fear of change.
But the Grade Cricket is all about being the most alpha version of yourself as possible at all costs and at all times.
I don't bat or bowl. I just feel a gully, count the number of dot balls in a row, sledge 15-year-olds, make me feel better about myself.
Thanks champ.
Oh, no, you called me champ.
Hello and welcome to the Grade Cricketer podcast on Fox Sports. My name is Ian Higgins. I'm joined, as ever, by Dave Edwards and Sam Perry. Gentlemen, welcome.
Day three.
Jane McGrath Day. Great to be here on this very auspicious day.
Here we are.
What do you think, boys? There's a lot of pink around.
Yeah, no, it's a good day. I feel a bit sorry for the McGrath Foundation because we were here last year as well, flogging books. And if you guys recall, it just rained for the whole test match. And then the only day with really bad weather in the last probably, I'm going to say, 2 weeks has been today, and it's rained. So I feel a bit sorry for the McGrath Foundation that they've missed out on what is otherwise a brilliant day. But have they missed out? Probably not. I just want the sun to be shining is all
they,
I want.
No, I know what you mean. They do a pretty amazing job of getting wall-to-wall coverage, much deserved as well, and I think everybody gets behind it. The Pakistani players came out for a ceremony a little earlier with commemorative pink caps on, which was awesome. And one thing I was going to point out just from the ground, which you notice immediately, is like that the McGrath Foundation have an army of volunteers, and they're all exceptionally insistent and kind of ruthless in like compelling you to help, and that's because that's the perfect kind of volunteer that you want. So shout out to everyone who's helping out with it as well. They've made it a great day. It's a funny cast from us here, isn't it? Like, we're in here in the boardroom of Cricket New South Wales. It's day three. The match is kind of well into the swing now. There's been some rain. There's a really laboured feel about the whole game itself. There's probably a laboured feel about the cast as well. You know, we're just I feel like we're on the road touring and we're getting a sort of the third or fourth gig.
We don't even know the name of the town we're in anymore.
Yeah.
Hello.
Cricket New South Wales again. Oh, same gig. Yeah.
So for this cast, we're just going to roll through what we're seeing at the cricket. We've had a lot of RCGC questions come in as well, which we want to establish. But why don't we talk about the cricket itself? Missed a fair few hours this morning due to rain, but they got back on. Dave and I, you were there. Pakistan are 3 for 150-odd, as we record, Azhar Ali was unceremoniously run out in true Pakistan style. But other than that, mate, what are you picking up?
Oh, look, I mean, yeah, Yunus and Azhar Ali put on a pretty decent partnership till it all came to a terrible conclusion, as you just mentioned. In terms of the cricket, maybe we're seeing Misbah for the last time at this test. He'll get the second innings, of course, but it'd be good to get back after the cast and catch the latter part of it in his innings if he's still in. I think the biggest thing that's jumped out for me, though, so far was where Matty Wade came off about an over into Australia getting on the field with some kind of virus, I believe, and that brought Pete Hanscom behind the stumps, and I'm not sure what your early thoughts are on that, boys.
Well, everyone started to go nuts because, you know, popular thought is that Hanscom can play the all-rounder role that we so desperately want.
Yeah.
But then the popular thought started to skive off a bit because Hanscom was wearing his keeper pads under his pants.
Looks yuck, guys.
Straight up for you. Simple.
Yeah, it just looks a bit too indoor cricket for me. And I'm not...
Because you're a former keeper.
Yeah, done some keeping. And
I dabble.
Not just accounts mainly. And it just didn't feel right to me. Just didn't feel right. Much the same way. I mean, thank God he wasn't wearing a short sleeve shirt. Because, I mean, that would...
You may as well go the full way.
That'd be enough to drop...
Or a Greg Chappell hat.
A Greg Chappell. What's the complete outfit of a wicketkeeper wearing the wrong thing?
So this is what we were going to talk about. As he got the gloves, Dave and I were having a beer, probably unprofessionally, and all of the kind of talk around us was, oh, this is great, you know, now Hanscom's going to get his chance. Most people ignoring the fact that Pete Hanscom has expressly said that he does not want to keep, he wants to bat for his country, probably fair. So we started to talk about all the things Hanscom could do to ensure that he doesn't get another go again beyond dropping catches.
Yeah.
So it became things like that. Well, he should wear a Greg Chappell floppy, should have short sleeves. Maybe that's why his keeping pads are on the inside. He's trying to say to everybody, I'm not a keeper, I'm indoor cricket.
Could he tuck his pants into his socks?
I think he could. I think he could probably wear a thigh pad. I've seen a wicket keeper wear a thigh pad before. I've also seen a wicket keeper keep back to the seamers in a lid.
Yeah.
But that's on like terrible grey wickets, which stay about knee height, and then like it bounces. Like you're quick, who's bowling, you know, 110 k's an hour, just bowls one length, just rolls, and then it just hit you quick, inverted commas, great radio. And then it just like rolls, bounces about 3 feet in front of the wicketkeeper, hits him in the face. That's why he's wearing a helmet. But I've still
seen. We've got him. Yeah, so we've got him.
And aviator sunglasses, obviously.
Yes. Okay, so aviators, a helmet with a Greg Chappell floppy underneath, short sleeve shirt, socks tucked into the pants,
thigh pad,
pads on the inside of the pants, also a mouth guard could be good too, just for a test level. A keeper wearing like a big purple mouth guard that's really visible could just give all the signs necessary to never keep again.
You might not remember this, he goes, but when we played Green Shield together, I was your captain, and in the last game, I think it was against Sutherland, you were the keeper, and I asked you, can I keep?
And you were the captain, so I said, yes, can I bowl?
But I was wearing aviator sunglasses. I was wearing the whole kit. And I nearly got on a tour to India.
Okay, so as we record, we don't know how Hanscom's really going with the gloves. He did help affect the run out of Azhar Ali. But, with any luck, he'll drop a catch and people will shut up about him.
He's got a little of buys through.
Yeah.
Buys are the obvious scene. Just like, oh, he doesn't really move his feet, this bloke. And, you know, like,
he can also make sure that when he's returning the ball to the bowler or starting that off, instead of giving it a second slip, he can try and affect an underarm that doesn't work very well. His glove nearly falls off and goes straight up in the air.
Backwards,
he can throw it to square leg. That's yuck. Or even give it to first slip. You're not expecting it. You just like lob it, and then it goes above his eye line. Then it just like hits Renshaw on the foot.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like looking at
first of all, out for him and not even catch it. Just arms crossed.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Because you know that's the sign of a keeper to be intimidated by. That when they underarm the ball, they put like a little bit of leg spin on it. It just kind of it has a really beautiful like quick arc.
It's tough to get purchased on the ball. I mean, he goes, you might know best of us. When you're throwing a ball with your keeping gloves on, how does it come out? Can you impart spin on it in the air or swing?
You can impart spin, but backspin is kind of like when I temp in bowl poorly. I do backspin, whereas like the actual pros do leg spin action.
Right.
To flirt with the gutter line, don't they? But I mean, the most alpha thing that you can as a wicketkeeper is try and get the ball to mid off on the ball. Everyone stops, and because cover's like waving his arms, saying hit me, and then you just lob it straight back to mid off, and everyone goes.
Why is cover so needy? Cover's a good position to be in.
Yeah,
it's the gully that I feel that wants the ball the most. Yeah. Never gets
gully
it.
Wants it because when do you ever get the ball in gully, especially in grey cricket?
Or no point.
There's never catches in gully.
Well, it's very inefficient in the return back.
Yeah,
where are some of the places he could throw the ball? Like he could get it and he could underarm it like back to the bowler, but roll it along the ground, but just bounce it like just underarm it and it just kind of bounces. Yeah.
Nothing
and the ball just hits the bowler on his foot, just looking at him.
Nothing would scare Mitchell Marsh more than being in this test match.
Yeah, horrifying.
Mitchell Stark more than if he like bowled the ball, and he's like turned back and then Handsome's yelling out, Mitch. He turns around and just hits him in the shoulder.
Doesn't know what to do.
Or if he gets a stumping off Mitch Stark by just throwing the ball at the stumps.
Oh yeah. That's another good one. A leave outside off stump. That's when he's batting an inch out of his crease. Then he tries to go for the run out.
That is the worst thing
a wicketkeeper.
We've arrived at the worst.
There we go. We got there. We got there, boys. What time is it?
It was really nice to go for a lap around the ground. We're going to talk about laps in a second. But it's a very kind of restless crowd at the SCG because they're not seeing a lot of play. But it does trap the sound really well in the ground. And the whole Gary thing is happening here as well. I mean, people who are watching on TV will have picked that up, but it's not taken any, it hasn't lost any gas.
No.
In making it to the SCG, so they're all over him. They went berserk for him when he came on to bowl. Less so Steve O'Keefe, the homeboy.
Yeah, I was sitting behind the Richies yesterday. I went down to see
him. You weren't with him?
Yeah, well, I wasn't with him.
He'd be cool though.
I wasn't invited. But
whole 2 for 22.
Yeah.
It's almost like chanting.
That is.
Playing the song. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I was down by there, and Nathan Lyon came on to bowl just before the end of play yesterday, and they were all yelling out after every single ball, 3, 2, 1, nice Gary. That was the thing that was orchestrated. And there's like, it's kind of like, you know, when you go to like, the funny thing is about like the difference between comedians and like your favorite band, right?
Yes.
In that they're both live performances and you both love them and you love their collective works.
Yes.
But you go to see the musical performance and you just want them to play the hits. You don't care about the new album, just the hits. Mm-hmm. But you go to a comic show And if he does the same jokes as you've seen on YouTube 50 times, you go, "Oh, I know what's coming. I want new material." Mm. So it's quite conflicting. But these guys, they just want the same joke over and over again.
Well, they should go watch Jerry Seinfeld, because he was recently touring and he just plays the same jokes over and over
That's
again.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, let's tell some champ jokes though.
Ask TJC coming up, and they'll be all alpha related.
But we were talking, like, as we sort of went on this lap, we started to think about how to make Test cricket more like grade cricket. How to humanise a little bit. That's what
Test cricket grade again.
Grade again, again.
I like it
because it once was.
Yeah.
So speaking of laps, it came into my mind. Wouldn't it be great if, like, you know what it's like when you are playing a game and you're out, and you need to stretch your legs. You want to go for a walk around the ground. Mainly, you want to get away from people.
Yep.
I'd love if there was some tradition in Test cricket where the players could do that too, just walking around the outside of the boundary.
Yeah.
A couple of the English players did that. Few years ago, was it maybe the Oval? Oh, UK listeners will be able to tell me, but I think it was Matt Prior.
Right.
And I think it might have been Graham Swan as well. Of course, it was old Swanee.
Well.
They just like went for
a lap. He loves his hijinks, doesn't he?
And they sat in between the fence and the rope. Yeah. And they weren't doing anything, just out there.
They're lying down next to the side screen, like face down, looking up next to each other on their phones.
Yeah. Looking up, See, I don't know about you guys, but when I got out, it was a twofer for me. When I got out, I wanted to, one, check my phone for reset and art circuit. And I didn't want to be around because we had a no phones policy at Gordon when I was playing. And then also, I just wanted to look like that I was upset about getting out, even though it was almost like a shock, isn't it? It's not a shock because it happened every single week.
Yeah.
So it was a two. I wanted to get away from it, but also just use my phone. So I think there could be some benefit in that for Test players.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see, say, like, David Warner is walking around the ground with his phone, just checking what's going on.
Are they really human? Do we know if they're allowed to leave the ground? Like, if you get out, like, when I used to get out, I used to just, like, go and drive a few suburbs away and just lament, near Rose Bay, near the Gap.
What did you do after you were man-catted that you were talking about yesterday? I know you probably wouldn't have been able to drive.
I couldn't drive it. I was on my L's. My dad drove me.
You get your hours.
My hours.
Dad kept the car running.
We're saying that it would be good. Like, there's always a few parents lobbing around the ground as well. Like, if there could be you were saying this, Dave, a dad corner. A Test cricket, like all the dads sit in one spot.
Yeah, all the dads sitting in one spot, I think it is good. Just, you know, to really focus the attention on the people that you're trying to impress the most.
I think it should be, so it's like a Combank section of the corner of the ground that's underneath the main sort of here at the SCG. All the dads should sit there.
Yeah.
And they should all sit with, like, a couple of chairs in between them. A couple of
spots. Or maybe like, dads running water bottles to fine leg, their kids at fine leg, or giving throwdowns. Right on the sideline.
Dads giving throwdowns.
We wanted to just bring people into the game at the SCG a little bit, just talk about the SCG demographic, because Sydney is a hotbed of property discussion and status and location. I mean, everybody knows that, and the SCG is no different.
New money.
Every place you are in the ground has its own kind of meaning and social standing. So, I mean, people who watch on TV, it wouldn't have escaped most people that when you get the backdrop of the members, you're just pretty much watching a sea of blue. It could be sponsored by Country Road.
I think Country Road has set up a stand inside the members.
Next to Doyle's Seafood, there's a Country Road outlet.
Whereas Bay 13, if you walk around the other side of the ground, that's where General Pants and Topshop
YD.
So what is the classic dress code for somebody in the members? So it's probably Ralph, you've got a blue Ralph Lauren shirt, collar popped.
Ralph Lauren,
polo shirt, collar popped.
Yep.
R.M. Williams.
So kind of urban country boys. It's chinos.
Your chinos. I don't know where you get those.
You have to look the same, otherwise you will stand out and therefore not fit in.
You tuck the blue polo into the chinos, though, don't you? And there's a brown belt. It's a tucked in look.
Yeah.
And what about headwear? What about salad? I hate saying
it. Just private school haircut. Private school haircut. That's how you get in.
Yeah.
I didn't even use the media pass yesterday, but I just looked at my salad.
Yeah. That's so terrible.
It is funny though.
You wear a boater hat.
Everyone does look the same in the members. Yeah. It's all white privilege. Which is
the Trump rally.
It's a Trump rally, which is why obviously I love it so much.
Yeah. Obviously, we're in the ladies' stand, which sits next to the main grand member stand.
That's the best view for mine.
Yeah. Well. Interestingly, there's two bars. There's a lower bar and an upper bar, and we went and had a beer in the lower bar, and immediately I said to Dave, is there an upstairs? An upstairs cargo?
Yeah, upstairs.
Always want to go upstairs.
And someone said, there's upstairs. Discard the beer immediately. Just tip it tipped it over.
And I need height because I'm in Sydney and property and location is everything.
Is there a social hierarchy between geographical height and also, you know, like political capital?
Well, it's alphadom. Yeah. You know, if you're higher and you're above something, you're better than them.
You want to peer down on people. Speaking of peering down on people, today Malcolm Turnbull came in to...
stop the boats.
Yeah. He came into the commentary box. So we didn't actually hear the commentary being in the ground, but we did walk past his security detail.
His detail.
Speaking of...
was that Warney's detail?
Speaking of Ricks. This guy's are huge. We didn't even see Turnbull because he was flanked by about 15 massive bodyguards.
Yeah.
And we asked the lady who was manning the press box who that was, and she said in hushed tones, "It's the Prime Minister."
Yeah. But it became really, just to bring into the press box a little bit, we came back into the press box and someone who knows that we do the great cricketer like yelled out across the press box to us, Sam and Dave. He's like, "Turnbull just chant hawk." And, you know, like, people don't talk in the press box, they're all writing, but everyone sort of chuckled.
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, you know, what do you mean?" He goes, "Oh, well, he called him a champion." So I don't think it was quite a champ, but, like, he just heard the word. And as soon as you hear the word champ, or any derivation of it immediately becomes a great cricketer joke, speaking of running over old material.
Speaking of champ, I don't know if you've seen this, but there's a Spike company. By Spike company, I mean, like, the company who actually make the spikes that go in cricket shoes.
Oh,
and
okay.
that is called champ.
Yeah,
so everyone is literally getting champed every time they buy new spikes.
Every time he's put in a field, he ain't champed.
Well, that's true.
Yeah,
home champ.
Our whole time in the press box, we've just been champed for being new media.
New
kid in the school.
And
let's not forget, and we wouldn't have the Milo champ squad of kids where we're immediately offering them from their first days of playing cricket.
Mm.
How many more times can we say champ in this podcast?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. A shout out, Dave. We kind of did our first, it's all getting a bit indulgent here, isn't it? But we kind of did our first appearance, if you will. Zero money. Thought we might get a beer, actually. But then we thought it was mixed strength, so we wouldn't worry. But Josh from the CTD crew, sounds like a kind of...
Yeah, they're a small tour group.
Are they bike affiliated?
Yes.
They're called Carrying the Drinks, as you say, or CTD for short.
Okay. Yep.
And, you know, they started as a small group. They've been growing exponentially every year.
Mm.
I think they've got about 35 to 40 members at the moment. They're a bunch of cricket-loving tragics. That's how they describe themselves. And they come down on day three of the Sydney Test every year.
Mm.
So it was good to have a chat with them, hear a bit about what goes down in the Newcastle Maitland grade cricket scene.
Mm.
That's really nice. I was actually talking to a friend of mine yesterday about like what people do at the cricket. So we've been in the cricket now for 3 days.
Yeah.
And like cricket goes for a really long time.
Yes.
And you forget that as soon as you stop playing because you actually go and live your life.
Yeah.
But cricket goes on for ages. But like a lot of people will just come to 1 day of cricket all across the country. So 1 day of test cricket, whether you're in Adelaide, Perth, Brisbane.
Pay your pilgrimage.
Pay your respects.
And like, to pay your respects to watch a bit of cricket. But like most of the time, at the end of the day's play, when you see people leaving the ground, everyone is blind.
Yeah.
Like, and so cricket's just, for me, when I watch cricket now at home, it's just on in the background and you're floating out from, you know, from whatever you're doing the rest of the day. And it's just on, you check the score. You might watch a couple of overs. There'll be some highlights. Obviously, you're watching the cricket show or you've recorded it. So it's just always on. But when you actually come to the ground, it's actually like that in real life as well. It's just on in the background whilst you facilitate your drinking culture.
Blokes have their backs to the cricket
and
they're just smashing 13 schooners.
Yeah. But it's so expensive here and it's also mid-strength for most of the ground.
Yeah,
so they're having 26 schooners.
Yeah,
we saw a couple of blokes just next to us.
Yeah.
Absolutely roaring about a turned down review. Just said, "Oh, that's," and like swearing.
Someone said, "No, it's not," and the guy went, "Fuck off!"
Yeah,
really loudly. Like, we're in the ladies' stand.
Yeah. Australia just dominating the match.
Yeah.
Not really anything riding on it, but they had so many.
He was wrong because the review was overturned.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point being that I think it's nice that guys like CT that they spend a day with their mates. Hopefully, they stick together. The older they get, because the older you get, the more your life fills up with stuff. And by that I mean women tell you that you can't go do those things anymore.
Yeah.
Just women. But yeah, I think it's nice. Good on them. Good on CTD and the boys.
Well, and we were saying as we were walking over, and they really kindly invited us over to come and have a chat and meet them and stuff, and they told us a few stories, which was awesome. And we were saying as we were walking over that we were still really scared going to meet them because we were like, we're going to disappoint them. We're just disappointing in real life. So
yeah.
Unless you like talk in tweet, people are going to be automatically disappointed.
Just dropping truth bombs in 140 characters or less.
As soon as you guys left, they were like, "Oh, I thought they'd be funnier."
Yes,
their hands would be bigger, but they were small hands when I shook them.
Yeah, well, no, it's funny you say that because as we shook hands, one of the guys said, "Good handshake." Good handshake. He's like, "You got in really deep there." I was like, "Oh, thanks. That's a big special."
You got in really deep.
Got in really deep. What do we give to be told that?
Tombstone.
Yeah. So we always, it's become a bit of a tradition with this SCG podcast to talk about the things that we've seen in the press box with a couple of people floating around.
What have you seen?
We had a quiet lunch with Tom Moody today. We sat at the same table as him.
And he didn't talk to you.
No, yeah. Yes. Well, his sister taught me geography, so I thought that might be an in, but I couldn't remember her name. We kind of left him alone, and then there was something else, Dave, as well. You're saying that it's just been happening all day.
Oh yeah, all day. You know how we had Brendan Julian on the podcast a few weeks ago.
That's right, I remember that. Yeah,
you remember that. Everywhere I go, I think that I'm hearing him. Like I'm just hearing. I hear someone go, "Boys!" Yeah. I turn around, and I think every time that it's Brendan Julian's just behind me.
Every time someone says, "Do you know what it's like to lift the Sheffield Shield?"
Every time that happens.
Have you guys been to Barbados or Jamaica or anywhere? Someone trying to get away? No,
been nowhere, mate.
I've been to Penrith.
Don't even have a passport.
Yeah.
But there is a big part of me that kind of wish it was like it was him. But we overheard Tom say. We're just talking about Tom Moody's conversation that we're eavesdropping on. But he's away skiing.
God, we are nowhere.
He's away skiing.
He's away skiing. Half his luck, eh?
Yeah.
The other thing is I introduced myself to Wacker Eunice yesterday with a very relevant, speaking of, ins or introductions, he was standing by himself just watching his national side play cricket. So what he needed was, a bald bloke come up and introducing himself at the end of the day. And he was tired. So I did, because that's what I thought he needed. Yeah. And I said, Wacker, I played at North Sydney Cricket Club as you did. And he was like, "Oh yeah, I remember that." And I said, "Oh, how did you find it? How did you find?"
Wait, sorry, to derail you. Were you playing at the same time?
No.
Sorry, who are you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, I said I played in North Sydney, and he was like, "Oh yeah." I'm like, "God, how'd you find it?" Because this is obviously a few hours after we tore strips off the club song.
The way you phrase that question as well makes it think like it's a gotcha. Like, how'd you find it?
I just really thought he might. He might have a little insight, like something funny gonna, about the Bears. Just, or just great cricket. And
did you just stand behind him and just sing the song?
I was humming it, and he just turned around at me, and he said, "You played at North." He was just watching the game, minding his own business, he said, "I love the guys at North, but I hated great cricket." I'm not going to do his accent, or anything like that. He's like, "I hate playing cricket," and I was like, "This is good." I'm like, "Oh, why?" And he's like, it's just cheating." And then I was like, "Oh, that's interesting." And he said, you bowl one week and the other team makes a lot of runs, and then you turn up to bat the next Saturday and they've made the wicket green. It's a different wicket. It's not fair." He's like, "I didn't like it." And I was just like, "That's great." I said, how'd you come to play at the Bears?" He's like, "Oh, my brother-in-law was playing there. And then I wanted to play some cricket, so I asked if I could." And I was like, "Oh, did they have you?" He's like, "Yeah, no, they let me play." So,
They let me play.
Yeah, that would have been pre-internet, so they couldn't have checked his stats on my cricket first. He just said, "I would have played Pakistan under-19s. I've also represented Pakistan several times.
Look at my LinkedIn.
It's funnier because he played after he was an international star. It's funny that he says to me, like, "Oh, they let me play." He's like, "You're Wacker Eunice."
I had the best Yorker in cricket history.
That was something else that happened in the press box. The other thing, just another thing, was like, Anscombe scored his 100 yesterday. We were busy talking about how Ian Chappell was looking up his baseball articles, which was good. The other thing about the press box is everyone in there, like, ostensibly loves cricket.
Yeah.
Like, they've found a profession in it, but nobody claps anything. Nah. Like, there's no reaction.
Yeah, I noticed that as well.
There's something alpha about that as well, like, kind of being above anything that happens in the game, like these great observers. I would have thought that...
Maybe they just feel because they're in a room, no one could hear the clap even if they did clap. So it's henceforth a redundant thing to do.
The window's open. They slide the window open.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. But no, I agree with you.
Their hands outside the window.
I was thinking
against the press box.
What?
Good rate. Doing the gesture there. I've been watching.
What would it take for them to actually clap? Would it be like Shane Warne's 700th wicket at the MCG that day? They probably stood up and clapped that day. The McGrath, Warne, Langer retirement at the SCG at 2006, 2007, whatever that was.
Probably the crowd attendance figures. when those come up on the scoreboard, that's when I clap. It's the only time.
I think there was some clapping actually when Bob Hawks got that beer. I'm actually legitimate. I think there was actually some clapping for that. Not for Hansom's ton, though.
Exactly.
Have you been, you guys been noticing the nice little Cadbury connoisseur ice creams that have been going on in the press box?
No, I haven't, no.
You had any of those?
No.
The
everyone's been having them. Are they Magnums?
Magnums, yeah.
Gus
Walker. I think actually connoisseurs. It's a different brand.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, pardon me.
I had the salted caramel one today. I've just been watching who's having them. Tom Moody went for one after lunch.
Yeah. Everyone, yeah.
Gus Walland had one.
Yeah.
And went to go with his Diet Coke.
He just had one.
Okay.
He just had one today.
All right.
I had one, you had one, we're all happy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're really
nice.
It's
lovely in there.
They're nice to have. It's lovely in there. I just on no noise in the press box. I thought of this idea because I just had this reflex. Nathan Lyon bowled a ball that like sort of hit high on someone's bat, reasonably innocuous otherwise. And I said bowled, and it really like it reverberated around the box because no one was making any noise. Like, oh my God.
I did the same thing yesterday. Someone early on played Australia batting, and someone hit a nice cover drive for four, and I just went shot.
Yeah.
And there was just, I shouldn't have said that. I'm in the wrong place to say something like that.
Okay, you're at the bar.
Now, that's interesting you say that because, like, is there any part, is this just me, or is there any part of you that enjoys saying shots so early after someone's played a shot and then hoping it goes for four?
Yeah.
Like, the earlier you say it, the more it shows your kind of knowledge of what a good cricket shot is before you even see the outcome of it.
And it's funny because watching cricket growing up with my dad, he always used to just like, he always used to forget where the fielders were in the boundary. So you play like a one day up and like, and someone would like push a ball gently through the offside.
Yeah.
And like, he would say the infielders giving it the green line, putting the arm up in the air to say the sweeper's got it.
Yeah.
But dad's just saying like, blokes just like not chasing the ball.
Right.
So he would like, trickle past a 30 yard ring.
Yeah.
And he would just go four. And then like 2 seconds later the boundary rider picked it up and just lobbed it back.
There's something status in that. Like, I mean, I used to do that at school when, you know, you'd be the last to clap at assembly or the first to clap or sometimes when we're at school, like the last to sit down.
Yeah.
Like everyone would sit and wait for everyone to sit down just to be the last.
Yeah, all that stuff goes on. Well, we've had a spate of questions coming in, which we really appreciate.
We like
for Ask TGC and just general chat otherwise. The first one that's come through, I think we've kind of dealt with, but I'm glad it was asked anyway. Ash Cameron wrote in and said, what do you think of Hanscom wearing his keeping pads under his pants? Well, we've already said that, I suppose. We think that he's trying to relieve himself of the job.
Yeah.
And
it
looks like he's playing indoor cricket.
I think, do you think people would be surprised about how good he's actually keeping? Because he's actually a state wicketkeeper.
Yeah.
Like, he's wicketkeeper for his state for a lot of games, and he's actually really good. He's like the first choice.
Well, I think it's the reverse. Like, I think people know that he's a good keeper, so they're like, well, if you can keep, why don't you just keep for your country?
Okay,
it makes no difference.
Yeah,
you know?
That's
just
true.
Do that.
Do you think there's a serious problem, like, serious question for a moment?
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to this.
I mean, just managing workload, like batting and keeping, did you feel more pressure when you were keeping and batting, or when you were just batting? Did you feel like you had the freedom to enjoy your cricket and maybe perform a bit better?
Legitimately, the reason I started wicketkeeping was because I got bored in the field, and so I thought like, oh, the
wicketkeeper. You had ADHD.
I had ADHD, so that was a separate situation.
Had or
But like Sangakkara, for instance, if I could compare myself again to my Sangakkara, as
third
as
time today.
Yeah. So, but he gave up wicketkeeping and he started to average like it was like 10 runs better than like I think he averaged high 40s as a wicketkeeper, and then like mid to high 50s as a non-wicketkeeper, just as a batsman. So I'm going to guess that there's definitely a thing. But maybe I've never wicketkeeped 5 days in a row. So
no.
So
and you never will.
Never will.
Just a follow-on from Hanscom. Somebody wrote in, I haven't got the name, pardon me, saying, what if Hanscom doesn't say nice Gary?
Well, someone actually tweeted in since that question's come in and have confirmed that he has said nice Gary, bold Gazza, and something else. So that for whoever that person was who commented, I think it was on Facebook. They were pleased with it. Yeah, pleased with it. So he is doing it.
He's missed out on the chance to come up with a superior catchphrase, an alpha way.
So isn't this nice Gary thing just bowling Shane with Ian Healy and Shane Warne? Like that when we were the same age as the kids who picked this thing up now, that was the bowling Shane. That's what we always say.
Yeah.
Well,
so it's kind of
it's very 2016 because there's some layers of irony in it as well.
Oh,
just
yeah.
layers.
Nice.
It's like it's like a walking dank meme.
It's gone so social.
Yeah, it's dank.
Or maybe Hanscom could alpha it by starting to create a combination with O'Keefe or something.
Yeah.
You know,
I like it. Yeah, I like that. That's
good. Areas sock.
Yeah, good areas sock.
Areas sock.
Socky.
Mm.
Areas sock. Great real estate, mate.
Okay, just back to Bob Hawke. I'm just going to pronounce his name how it appears to me. Sligar. Dzligar.
Okay.
Asks, just wrote in, like, and I don't know how this thought process happens. I don't mean to, like, sledge the people who ask the questions, but so they've seen Bob Hawke scull the beard and they go, oh, this is a tweet. It's just right. At Great Cricketer, why was Bob with Charles Woolley?
Charles Woolley's retired from 60 Minutes, hasn't he?
He never will in my mind. I can always see him there.
He's probably doing research. Has he got a book coming out? Yeah. Or I mean, he's probably doing some work.
That's a fair question, though. I don't know why they've chosen us to answer that question.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. The Great Cricketer will know.
Yeah. I'll ask Sam David Ean on this. No, I don't have anything funny to say.
Makes it sound a little bit more contrived, but what wasn't shown on TV was that Hawke was initially put up on screen next to Woolley.
Yeah.
And he had no idea that he was on screen. And Charles Woolley, they were both having their beers. And Charles Woolley was continually nudging him, trying to point out that he was on screen. And Hawke was just watching the cricket, trying to get over. And then eventually, like, Hawke saw himself. Woolley then departed the scene.
Mm.
Woolley left. And then 5 minutes later, Hawke was doing the, you know, the skull thing that he always does now. I wonder whether Woolley, you know, he's a senior journalist.
Mm.
I wonder whether he saw the opportunity and went, right, let's get this happening. Let's go to Channel 9 as an employee of Channel 9.
That's dark.
And he's just gone, let's make this happen. I'm going to sit next to him.
So it's contrived. It's
cynical from me.
Cynical and dark.
I feel bad for Bob Hawke. Like, he just can't have a beer at his own pace in public anymore.
Yeah.
So, at his own pace.
Like, every time someone
maybe
sees him, he
pace.
Has to drink it as fast
maybe
as he can.
Maybe that's his pace, yeah. That's a problem. So, again, talking to my mate who was sitting next to the Richies yesterday.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
Because we were talking about that moment. And I was saying to him, oh, yeah, that was pretty funny, wasn't it? We were talking about it. And he said, funnily enough, Bob Hawke actually gave a speech at this guy's university last year, or could have even been 2 years ago, anyway, it was a number of times. And he said then he was like, Bob Hawke was actually really frail,
right,
and he actually needed like help to like get on off the stage, that kind of thing. So like, it's really kind of like jarring just to see like
pressuring
like, kind of, like,
an elderly man
to like just be in a beer, you know, like it's really
bin that man. Yeah, down the guzzle it down the bin.
we'll take another question here on Facebook.
Keep going.
Bennett. This one's from Mitch Buckley. It's a two-part question here for the show. I'm back in my hometown for the summer and have filled in for my brother's park cricket side for a few games. The club wants me to wear their club kit, but I've insisted on wearing the kit from my grade side in Brisbane, stating I don't want to wear a white shirt with cream pants, but really just wanting to alpha everyone on the team. Is this a proportionate amount of alphaing, or am I making the team look bad by wearing creams when they all wear the same whites? Also, I'll go to the second part quickly and then we'll recap.
It's all alpha, isn't it?
In a game last week, one of the opposition players said while I was batting, watch out, this guy used to open the bowling in first grade. And when I asked what in Brisbane, he said, nah, Gold Coast. Was I right to laugh and say that's not first grade, Chan?
Okay,
let's take the second part first.
Second part first. That's an excellent response, and everything about that is hilarious.
Yeah.
Like the levels of that are great. And I think the levels are obvious because he's written them in a funny way.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to.
Yeah.
The first part, I'm not sure, because I think that like everyone in his team knows that he played the team that he played for previously. Everyone in his team knows that he played great cricket. He doesn't need to show off for them. So really, he's showing off for the opposition players, which is really just putting pressure on himself, because then it's like if you're the X grade player playing in the not so good comp, then you're like, and you get out, which obviously would never happen because he's far superior. But
I do know what he means from a purity perspective, because creams and whites is a terrible balance top to bottom. I mean, if you've got
true.
A cream shirt
that's
and
true.
White baker's white pants, it's yuck on every level.
Yuck on every
level. I can't see where he's coming from. I don't know whether it's just simply to prove that he played high-level cricket, but I can only imagine it's kind of like the phrase, once you go black, you never go back. It's very difficult to be someone who wore creams and then to go, I've got to go get myself some ice creams now and wear white pants. That'd be a very difficult thing to bring yourself down to. Or if you go into the members of the corporate box, it's hard to sit with the plebs again, as we're finding.
Yeah, that's why we'll never go back.
That's why we're never going to get accredited again.
I just feel like, after that racial analogy.
Yeah.
I just feel like the people who wear the mixed white cream combination, whether it's whites as bottoms or whites on tops or vice versa, I always feel like those are the people who you see in the service station in full kit before and after the game. You know, you, those people?
Yeah.
Just get changed afterwards. Just put on
your... At least put your shorts on.
Shorts, exactly. Yeah.
Shorts and thongs. You can keep the whites on the top, but whites are always on top. Racial.
drive home that if you have to. If you absolutely have to.
There's fewer, messier fashion appearances than somebody with a dirty cricket shirt from the day and whites, like white pants, with no socks or shoes on in a service station in bare feet.
Hey, how come?
Getting like the gasoline on your feet walking.
It's, it's untucked. Yeah. It's an untucked white shirt with a bit of dirt on it.
It's always really, like the shirt is long as well.
It goes down to the thigh kind of thing, and they're dishevelled. They've got sunscreen on their ear and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, or I mean,
you see them at Woolies and they're going through like self-checkout, struggling to get their card out.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
I'm just thinking, like, how come Australia, like, cricket clothing hasn't changed? Because I'm thinking the equivalent is sort of baseball, like the baseball clothes. Like the biggest change for them is when the Yankees wore the pinstripes. So that was the biggest shock in baseball.
Yeah,
of course.
But that's, like, their clothing is more steeped in history, I feel like, even though their clothing is equally as unathletic.
Mm.
But like, with cricket, you're wearing, like, baggy white pants and like the why I understand because it's hot in Australia but it's hot anywhere you play cricket really and so that I understand, but why aren't we wearing shorts or athletic apparel?
I was just going to like oversimplify and go it's just a traditional game.
Traditional game.
You're asking rhetorically and that should still stand.
I remember when Victoria played that one
I remember Dino wearing some shorts.
They trialled it
They won it that year. So I just want to ask, of white pants, did you, when you guys went to buy yours, what were you thinking, honestly, when it came to fashion, like the cut of the pant? Because obviously as we get older, the skinny jean or the shaped jean is what most people like to wear, particularly around the calf area. Did you guys like to sort of follow that through when it came to cricket pant as well? Like, did you want them to shape, to be nice and shapely?
Different. Well, I'd always go for brands.
Yeah. Well, I don't train anything leaks, so it didn't worry me at all. Baggy's pants, as long as the up top is tight.
You want tight, so you
tight
want
top,
up top.
Tight top, short cut sleeves.
So if
I wasn't a keeper, so it didn't matter.
If you were large, if you had large trousers, you would always go for an extra small shirt.
Yeah. Now my rig's terrible, so I'd wear a moo moo if I could.
Were there any other Facebook questions there, Dave, or was that pretty much?
I think that's about it, mate.
That's about it.
We'd be going over old ground if I took a couple more similar themes.
Understand. Well, I mean,
should change up the themes though. Just to, I mean, we love getting the questions.
I want life questions.
Yes.
But we're happy to talk about alfering and champing and all those kind of words. But you know, if you want to,
you certainly sound it.
But give us. We'd love something to sit and cut teeth in. So you can reach us via the usual social media channels. Hashtag AskTGC.
Well, that's about all for day three. The first time we've done it without a guest.
Yeah.
I still think we covered some good ground there.
We covered something.
Something happened. We can definitely say that. We have a few guests lined up for tomorrow, but as has been the dance here at the SCG, people's schedules are kind of flighty, and also as they get to know us, they run away from us at a rate of knots.
To the person who said, you guys should get Bill Laurie, okay, we'll try.
Yeah.
We'll try.
I think we've explained this before, but, you know, we're recording in Cricket New South Wales offices, which aren't in the SCG, they're technically outside. So we would have to get Bill Laurie, quickly describe who we are,
what a podcast
ask
is.
If he's got 15 minutes, tell him what a podcast is, describe new media in general, and then hold his hand and walk about 500 metres with him through about three different lifts.
I like how the consistency of always holding his hand.
I just want to hold his hand just to touch him.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we could get some advice from the listeners about how to introduce ourselves and the Great Cricketer podcast in a sort of 30-second elevator pitch.
Yeah.
30 seconds too long. You've got 6 seconds maximum.
Yeah.
Probably 2 seconds.
Very good. Oh, well, let us know who you'd like on. We'll see how we go. Catch you tomorrow otherwise.
Cheers.